For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in God's word to Mark chapters 2 and 3. The gospel according to Mark chapters 2 and 3. We'll be reading just a brief section out of chapter 2 and then a brief section out of chapter 3. Chapter 2 beginning at verse 23 and into chapter 3 through verse 6. Mark 2 verse 23, "And it came to pass that he," Jesus, "went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." We read the word of God that far this morning. On the basis of that and many other passages of the word of God, the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 38. Lord's Day 38 is an explanation of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Lord's Day 38, what doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are two great dangers for the church with respect to the Sabbath day. First great danger with respect to the Sabbath day is the danger of legalism. That was the error of the Pharisees in Jesus' day with respect to the Sabbath. They had heaped upon this day all kinds of man-made do's and don'ts, so that the heart of the Sabbath was obscured. And they looked to themselves and their keeping of all of these rules and regulations for their righteousness before God. There's always a danger for the church that she views the Sabbath from a legalistic point of view. That she views Sabbath observance only from an outward point of view and a keeping of certain do's and don'ts on this day. And the danger is that we judge others in that light as well, whether or not they're keeping the Sabbath day is based upon whether they're meeting the list of regulations that we have made. An old godly theologian once wrote that there are so many man-made rules and regulations that have been made for the Sabbath that a person could spend the 6 days of the week trying to read through all of them and still not finish. Before now, it's the Sabbath day and the time to keep that day. There is the danger of legalism, but there is, in the second place, the danger of laxity. And this is, it seems, the greater danger for the church today. We see that in the church world around us, and we recognize that in our own hearts and souls. Something that becomes very evident in the church world in this day, day in which the world celebrates and observes the Super Bowl, and it's indicative of a church's view of the Sabbath, the attitude that they take toward the Super Bowl. Whether they're going to spend the worship service watching the Super Bowl, or they simply ignore that worship service so people can be at home watching the Super Bowl. But not only is that danger found in the church world around us, that's a danger for us as well. The danger is that we begin to view this day as a kind of bore and drudgery. We don't have joy and delight in this day, and that may show itself in a faithlessness with respect to our Sabbath observance and our church attendance, or it might show itself in the work and the play of the other days of the week, more and more beginning to encroach upon the Lord's day. There is an answer to those two great dangers, and the answer is found in Him who is the Lord of the Sabbath, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ opposed all laxity with respect to the Sabbath. By His own example, He showed a faithful keeping of the Sabbath day. Every Sabbath day He could be found in the synagogue worshiping God. And the rest of the day was spent in acts of mercy, healing and caring for the sick. But in addition, Jesus also opposed the legalism of the Pharisees. Time and time again, He confronted and condemned their wrong view of the Sabbath, as He does here in Mark 2 and 3. Jesus says in verse 27, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Man was not made to be a legalistic slave of the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created by God for man and for our spiritual benefit. What a benefit we receive on the Sabbath day. In the midst of this hectic, restless life, in the midst of this world, we're able to put aside the work and the play and the cares of the other days of the week and on this day enjoy rest. On this day especially, we enter into the enjoyment of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and in His resurrection. On this day, we have a foretaste of the coming everlasting Sabbath rest. On this day, we're strengthened, we're renewed. Go forward in the rest of the week to serve and to glorify God. Sabbath is a precious gift of God to us in the midst of our earthly pilgrimage, and we honor the giver of that gift, the Lord of the Sabbath, by keeping this day, His day, holy. Call your attention to this Lord's Day this morning under the theme, the Lord of the Sabbath. First of all, notice that this is His day. Secondly, this is a day of rest. And then thirdly, this has an effect upon every day of our life. The Lord of the Sabbath, His day, rest day, every day. Fourth commandment demands of us New Testament Christians that we keep one day set apart from all of the rest as a Sabbath day. That truth of the fourth commandment is denied by many. And not only is it denied by the church world more broadly, but increasingly, the principle of the fourth commandment is being denied by Reformed churches. There are many Reformed theologians and so-called Reformed ministers who deny the principle of the fourth commandment. They teach that the fourth commandment and the observance of a day of rest belongs to the Old Testament ceremonial laws, all of those laws that had to do with the worship of God at the tabernacle and the temple. And they say all of those ceremonial laws of the Old Testament have been done away with and abolished with the coming of Jesus Christ. His coming did away with all of that, which means then, they say, that now in the New Testament, there is no more an abiding Sabbath command. Now, they'll admit, practically, it's wise still to observe a day of rest. We're not able to work 7 days a week, or we'll burn out. And so, practically, we need to take one day off from work in order to rest. And they'll say, because it's tradition in the New Testament church to observe the first day of the week, it's good for Christians still to do that. It's good to have a day off from work. It's good to have a day of rest. And since the church has always done it on the first day, it's good for us if we would continue to do that. It's a matter of practicality and a matter of tradition, they'll say, but it is not a matter of law. It's not a matter of the command of God in the fourth commandment. They say that there is no more in the New Testament an abiding Sabbath command. Is it any wonder then that the members of those churches don't observe the Sabbath day carefully? Is it any wonder if the leaders, the theologians, and the ministers are teaching to the people, it's good practically to have a day off, but there's no abiding Sabbath command, that the members would take that and run with that to enjoy the day however they please? And that is the bitter, evil fruit that comes from that false teaching. And such churches are reaping that bitter fruit in the lack of attendance at the worship services. More and more Reformed churches are finding that their second worship service is hardly attended at all. So that more and more these same Reformed churches are putting an end to the second worship service on the Sabbath day, simply because there's hardly anyone there. Members of the church are spending the Sabbath day pursuing their own pleasure. Now, they might go to church if they can fit it in with all of their other priorities and the other things that they have going on. If they don't have a vacation already scheduled or some family outing to go to, or if their kid is not having a sports game that day, well, then maybe they can squeeze in an hour of worship at God's house. But it comes as a third or a fourth priority. Because of that false teaching regarding the Sabbath, there is increasingly a failure to observe carefully the Lord's Day. Something that we face in our outreach, our witness, our evangelism, and our mission work, particularly in this land. One of the great hurdles for people in joining our churches is the Sabbath day. They've perhaps grown up having the day to themselves and their own pleasure, their work, or their play. And now to hear the teaching of a Sabbath command and observance of the Sabbath becomes for many a almost insurmountable hurdle to membership in our churches. That's contrary, that false teaching leading to laxity of life, it's contrary to the Word of God and to the Reformed confessions. Teaching of the Word of God and of our Reformed confessions is that there is an abiding Sabbath command in the New Testament. The basis for saying that is, first of all, not the law of Moses, but we have to go further back to creation, to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth and all things in them in six real 24-hour days. And on the seventh day, God rested. That resting of God on the seventh day did not mean that he was idle and inactive. God is always working. He was working in his providence, upholding all things. But God's resting on the seventh day was his entering into the enjoyment of his finished work of creation. By his working, creating all things in 6 days, and then resting on the seventh day, God established a creation ordinance. God set down the pattern for earthly life throughout the whole of history, not just for the Old Testament, but for the whole of the history of his creation. And the pattern is this: 6 days of work with 1 day of rest. To deny that there's an abiding Sabbath command is to deny this ordinance of God from the beginning. In the second place, the basis for the teaching of the Word of God and our confessions that there is an abiding Sabbath command is the law of Moses. The fourth commandment belongs to the moral law, the Ten Commandments. It does not belong to the ceremonial laws that have been done away with in Jesus Christ. There may be a ceremonial element to that, as we'll see in just a moment, but the heart of the fourth commandment belongs to the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and the moral law has not been done away with by Jesus Christ. That applies to God's people today throughout all of history. Just as we may not remove from the Ten Commandments the first commandment, or the fifth commandment, or the seventh commandment, so we may not remove from the Ten Commandments the fourth commandment. It's not that today there's only nine commandments that apply to us. We live our life as Christians according to the Ten Commandments, which includes this fourth. And then third, the basis for teaching that there is an abiding Sabbath command in the New Testament that we work 6 days and rest 1 day out of the week is a right understanding of the saving work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. The coming of Jesus Christ did not do away with the law of God for Christians in the New Testament, but He has fulfilled the law, and our keeping of the law is a keeping in gratitude for what Christ has done. And Christ has shown by His own example what the keeping of the fourth commandment means. He kept the fourth commandment by carefully observing the Sabbath day. All of those things show very clearly that in the New Testament, there remains the demand upon us to keep 1 day separate from the rest as a day of rest. But now, in the New Testament, that day is not the last day of the week, the seventh day. But for us in the New Testament, that's been changed to the first day of the week. That change from seventh day of rest to the first day being the day of rest is not something that was done merely by the church on her own. The church doesn't have the right to determine and to decide such things. It's the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who has made that change. A change from the seventh to the first was done by our Lord Jesus Christ when He arose from the dead on the first day of the week. Sabbath day is the day in which we enter into the enjoyment of the finished work of Jesus Christ that was declared powerfully in the resurrection. His resurrection is proof that He's finished the work that His Father gave Him to do, and that He's won the victory over sin, death, and the grave. In addition, Jesus appeared to His disciples on the first day of the week when they were gathered together on that first day, the day of the resurrection. Then a week later, when they're gathered together as one again, Jesus appears to them. Jesus pours out His Holy Spirit at Pentecost on the first day of the week when that early New Testament church was gathered together as one. And we read then throughout the New Testament of that early New Testament church gathering for worship now on the first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7, about the church in Troas, it says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And then in Revelation 1, the Apostle John, while he's exiled, sees a vision of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:10 says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." That's the first day of the week, the day of the Lord's resurrection in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. We read that in the Scriptures. Then also, this isn't the main thing, but nevertheless still important, we read in the early history of the New Testament church, after the death of the apostles, the earliest of church fathers describe that this has always been the practice of the church. She worships on the first day of the week. And that continues throughout the New Testament. The Synod of Dort, great Synod of Dort in 1618 and 1619, and in addition to the canons, they also made a declaration regarding the Sabbath. What the Synod of Dort determined with regard to the Sabbath is that there is a ceremonial element to the fourth commandment, as well as a moral element. The ceremonial element is the particular day that we observe, which in the Old Testament was the seventh day. Now in the New Testament is the first day of the week. The moral element is that there is a day that we keep, one day out of the seven, as a Sabbath. And now in the New Testament, by the resurrection of Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit, that day is the first day of the week. And that fits. It fits that in the New Testament, we observe the first day. In the Old Testament, God's people were under the law. And the structure of their life was 6 days of work, followed by a day of rest. But now in the New Testament, we're not under the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come and finished the work of our salvation, which means a fundamental change even in the structure of our life. Our week now begins with rest. The very beginning of our week is rest in Jesus Christ, followed by 6 days of work, 6 days of joyful, thankful labor out of gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done. The first day of the week is the Lord's day. Because this is His day, it's the will of the Lord Jesus Christ that determines how we live on that day. And it's the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, that this day be a day of rest. First day of the week, the Sabbath, is a day of physical rest for us. Now, that's not the main thing. It's not the most important thing about the Sabbath, that it's a day of physical rest. As we'll come to see in just a moment, the important thing is that this is a day of spiritual rest. That does not take away from the fact that it belongs to the Sabbath, that it is a day of physical rest. It's a day in which we're able to rest from the work and the play of the other 6 days of the week. And that's a blessing on this day. It's a gift of God to us that He's given to us, a day of rest. We are not God. God alone is the one who never slumbers or sleeps, the God who's able to work always without ever tiring. But that's not true of us. And yet there are many in this world who think themselves God, who think that they're able to work all day from early in the morning to late into the night with hardly any sleep, and then to work 7 days out of the week without a day of rest. to the detriment of their own health, to the detriment of their own family and soul. Reality is, we are not God. We need rest, physical rest. We're called to work hard 6 days out of the week, but then to rest each night. And then not only to rest each night in sleep, but also one day out of the week to rest from our physical labors, to lay those aside and to enjoy physical rest. That's an expression of trust and dependence upon God. That in this day, I'm not going to work. I depend upon the Lord and His provision. That was true for Israel in the Old Testament. They were to trust that on the sixth day, He would give them double the manna so that they'd have enough on the next day so they could rest. That was true of them when they came into the land and their livelihood was tied to the earth from day to day. While the neighboring heathens were working on the Sabbath day, they were to rest, to let their land sit and their animals sit and not to be out farming. Dependent upon God to provide. So for us, on the Sabbath day, laying aside our work, we do so in trust and dependence upon the Almighty God. Sabbath day is a day in which we are to lay aside our ordinary labors. Fourth commandment itself makes that very plain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. The command of God to us here is that on the Sabbath, the first day of the week, we rest physically and we do not work. Obviously, that means for the Christian that he may not take a job that requires of him regular labor on the Sabbath day. It means for the Christian that his day is not filled with work, or that he allows his work to creep into the Sabbath. Talking about work, thinking about work, planning for work on the other days of the week, handling phone calls or responding to emails or scheduling things that have to do with work, is to put those things aside. It means for the mother in the home that as much as possible she rests from her ordinary work. Obviously, she's not scrubbing her floors and so on the Sabbath day, but even with the preparation of food and time in the kitchen and with dishes, she's careful that the whole day is not consumed making food and cleaning up the food. Children and young people, means that they're not doing their ordinary work of school work. They rest on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day. Consider what a difference that makes in the life of a young person. When they understand on the Sabbath day they're to rest from their ordinary labors, which means that any schoolwork they may have has to be done on Saturday. Which means that that day is not spent sleeping in the whole day or pursuing one's own labors. There's work to be done, which affects their Friday. They're not spending Friday out into the wee hours of the morning because they know they have to be up and they have to work on the Saturday. All in preparation for the day of rest, the Sabbath day. Understand that in forbidding labor on the Sabbath day, there are exceptions to that, exceptions that Jesus gives. There are what we call works of present necessity. An example of that is here in Mark chapter 2, with the disciples picking the corn in order to have something to eat. They were starving, they needed to eat, and so they took some of the grain that was growing there to feed themselves. There was a present necessity, the pressing hunger that they experienced. It's a work of present necessity for a mother to provide food for her family on the Sabbath day. It's a work of present necessity for a farmer to see to it that his livestock are fed on the Sabbath day. It's a work of present necessity. Church understands the work of a police officer or a firefighter. There are also works of mercy. Works of mercy are like what Jesus did in Mark chapter 3, where he heals the man with the withered hand, showing mercy to one in need on the Sabbath day. That belongs to the work of a doctor or a nurse that's required to help those in need on the Sabbath day. We understand that with respect to the command not to work, there are some of these works that can be done on the Sabbath day, but there must be carefulness with that liberty as well, that that not be abused, so that there is a constant working on the Sabbath day that's regularly preventing the child of God from being present where the means of grace are. Child of God in that situation with some of those callings must be very, very careful so that rarely is he absent from the worship services of the church, but that he's regularly found under the means of grace. Fourth commandment requires of us that we rest physically from our ordinary work and play on the other days of the week. But more significantly than physical rest, the Sabbath day is a day of spiritual rest. This is the main thing, the most important thing on the Sabbath day, that we enjoy spiritual rest on the Lord's day. That spiritual rest is an enjoyment of a finished work. That was God's resting on the seventh day of the first week after he had created all things. It was an entering into the enjoyment of the finished work of creation. For us, on the Sabbath day, our spiritual rest is an entering into the enjoyment of the finished work of Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. Jesus Christ has finished the work given to him by the Father. He's redeemed us from sin and saved us by his grace. The Sabbath day is a day especially for us to meditate upon and to enjoy that finished work of our Lord, that greatest of the works of his hands. That's the purpose for our putting away our physical labors and pleasures on the Sabbath day. That's the purpose for our physical rest. The purpose of putting aside our physical labors and resting physically is to create a momentary, temporary vacuum that then can immediately be filled up with spiritual activities by which we enjoy spiritual rest in Christ. That's why we say that the main thing is not physical rest. The physical resting serves the greater purpose of spiritual rest. The day is emptied of the ordinary things so that it's filled up with spiritual activities. How often don't we say, because of the busyness of life and our responsibilities in this world don't always have time to read God's Word and to pray as I ought. So busy through the rest of the week that I don't have time to read anything spiritual, anything profitable. We're so busy as a family with various ones going off in different directions for work and for sports. We hardly have time to sit down together as a family and to read and pray and have family devotions. Some of that may be we need to reorder our priorities, but there is also the fact that God has given us the Sabbath day. He's given us this one day out of the other days of the week where we can empty the day of all of our ordinary work and our play so that we can devote ourselves to these spiritual activities in which we enjoy the finished work of Jesus Christ. The main calling that we have on this day of rest is the activity of public worship. We empty the day of our physical labor so that we can come to God's house twice to worship Him. Lord's Day 38 speaks of that. And that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. We delight in this day of rest because it's a day in which we can come to God's house to worship Him and to hear His word preached. And the word preached is the primary means of grace to us. It's the main means whereby we enjoy the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the content of the preaching of the gospel. It's declared to us Sabbath after Sabbath, the finished work of Christ in our salvation. We enjoy spiritual rest by sitting under that preaching, entering into the enjoyment of what Christ has done for us. And that explains the seemingly strange reference at the beginning of Lord's Day 38 about maintaining the ministry and the schools. We might wonder, why does that come first in an explanation of the fourth commandment? But the explanation is, the Word is the primary means of grace to us. It's the main means whereby we enjoy the finished work of Christ. Means practically that we maintain the ministry of the gospel. We maintain the schools for training men for the ministry. Because it's through those men God's word is preached to us on the Sabbath day. And through that preaching that we enjoy the finished work of Christ. That especially that governs our Sabbath day. It's that that gives us joy to come into the house of God. To hear the word proclaimed, to hear the gospel of our salvation in Christ declared to us. Which is why it's no burden and chore, or it ought not to be, for us to come to God's house. We come with joy and delight in our hearts. We understand that there are some of God's people who for legitimate reasons cannot come because of old age or because of sickness or infirmity. They're kept from God's house. We mourn for them. What a trial for them that they're not able to gather with God's people to hear the word proclaimed. But for the rest of us who are able, we come. Fourth commandment demands of us regular, faithful frequenting of the house of God. And the times where we're absent ought to be rare, because we delight to worship God, to hear His Word. Our attitude toward the church and the Sabbath is that of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. Main activity of the Sabbath is public worship. But then, we have opportunity in this day to engage in all sorts of other wonderful spiritual activities as well. There's time, having emptied the day of our ordinary work, to spend it reading the Word of God, praying, singing, meditating upon the truths of our salvation, reading some good spiritual reformed literature that we're not able to do on the other days of the week. We're able to worship God together as a family. Maybe the rest of the days of the week we're so busy and so scattered we don't have time. The Sabbath day we gather all together. There's meaningful time spent together in the Word of God and talking about spiritual things. There's time on the Sabbath day for fellowship with God's people. It's a day in which we can be mindful of the lonely, the widows and the widowers, and in that day to include them and to gather together with God's people for warm Christian fellowship. It's a day for service. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was not in the synagogue worshiping, spent the day in works of mercy, doing good and healing the sick and the infirm. So also do we, on the Sabbath day, have a day in which we can serve others. A day in which we can show care for the sick, the aged, the lonely, the widows and the widowers, and any other in the church of God who's struggling. Maybe our other responsibilities through the week hinder us from doing all that we want to serve others in the church. We have the Sabbath day again, freed up from our ordinary cares, seek out and to serve others. Sabbath day is not a day simply to be inactive and idle, so that the most we can say at the end of the day is, well, it didn't work. This day of rest ought to be busy. Day filled up with delightful spiritual activities. Day in which we enjoy the finished work of our Savior. Our keeping of the Sabbath day and the enjoyment of spiritual rest on that day has a wonderful effect upon every other day. We begin our week in God's house, and the other 6 days of the week, we are strengthened to serve God by the rest we enjoy on the Sabbath day. That rest is the power by which we go forth to serve God in the rest of the days of the week. Catechism refers to that at the end when it says, secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me. Every day of the week, we're to rest from our evil works. We're to rest from our sins. We're to rest from trying to work so hard to earn forgiveness or to make ourselves feel like we deserve to be forgiven. We're to rest every day from trying to work so that God might love us more. We're to rest from working and toiling for the approval of others and the fear of men. Every day we are to rest in Christ. Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest is enjoyed primarily on the Sabbath day, but it's a rest we know every day. Every day we're to come to Jesus Christ. Every day we're to rest from our evil works and to rest in Christ. Every day we're to trust in Him, to rely upon Him, to depend upon Him, to lean upon Him. Not our own strength, not our own understanding, but Christ alone. We're to rest in Christ every day for the forgiveness of our sins. We're to rest in Christ and His grace to go about our responsibilities. We're to trust in Christ for strength to bear up under trials and afflictions. Every day and in every circumstance, we are to rest in Christ. That's a rest we enjoy on the Sabbath day as we rest in His finished work. And that rest carries through in all of the days of our earthly pilgrimage. And as daily we rest in Christ, we enjoy a foretaste of the everlasting Sabbath. And that's the way that the Catechism ends, "and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath." In glory, we will enjoy perfect, unending Sabbath rest. We will be delivered from all of our evil works. We'll be delivered from every temptation and every enemy. And we will rest in the fully realized saving work of Jesus Christ in glory. We will rest in the presence of God. We'll enjoy perfect rest in spiritual activity, worshiping God and serving others in glory. We begin to enjoy that now already. We have a taste of that on the Sabbath day as we rest physically and we rest in Christ. We have a taste of that every day of our earthly pilgrimage as we put away our evil works and we rest daily in Christ our righteousness. What a wonderful gift and blessing is the Sabbath day. What a precious blessing in the midst of our toilsome life in this world, to have this day as a day of rest, a day in which we can especially focus upon Christ and enjoy His finished work. What a blessing that the rest and the refreshment we enjoy on this day carries through to strengthen and sustain us all the other days of the week. What a blessing that in this day we have a taste of heaven and the unending Sabbath. Gratitude for that precious gift of our Lord. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Gratitude for that precious gift. Rest in Christ every day. And look forward in hope to the dawning of the unending Sabbath rest in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Father who art in heaven, we give Thee thanks for this day, for the blessed rest that Thou dost provide us in it. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt grant us in this day that we might enjoy the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we might be strengthened and nourished spiritually and equipped by Thy grace to go forward in this week to serve Thee. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins in failing to keep the Sabbath as we ought. Strengthen us, Father, with gratitude in our hearts to keep this day holy. We pray this in Jesus, our Savior's name alone. Amen.